Sunday, February 11th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant, independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. As the mainstream media continues to ignore the Israelis escalating an unprovoked war with Syria and Iran, just as I said yesterday, the U.S. backed Israel in its flagrant attack on Syria that resulted in its F-16 being shot down, absurdly and hypocritically naming it a violation of Israeli sovereignty, ignoring the years of unprovoked attacks. Just as Vanessa said, it's like a person who breaks into your house and then claims to be defending themselves when you try to fight back. As should be clear for those willing to see the blatant truth in front of them, one side of the corporate media is willing to bend the facts in any direction that will hurt the opposition and defend Trump and his foreign policy, and the other side will do the same in order to ensure that Trump looks the fool. Both ignore what is supposed to be their ultimate mandate, to report the truth, not bend it to suit their agenda and create divisions and distractions amongst the people. This is what we must see. Both sides are simply businesses with shareholders and political ties that dictate their message. Both are on the same side behind the scenes, even if not all of the dancing monkeys realize what they truly are. As I have said many times in the past, simply establishment stenographers. The first article I want to talk about coming out of ZeroHedge.com is something I kind of like to cover first in these shows, these interesting advances in technology and things that are kind of alarming. The article is entitled, Meet the U.S. Army's Latest Killer Robotic Humvees. In the coming months, the United States Army is sending its first robotic Humvee to a field training exercise to see if the autonomous combat vehicle can accurately destroy targets as part of a new experimental program to weaponize robots. The killer Humvee, which is called the Wingman, is part of the Joint Capability Technology Demonstration, or JCTD, program, where engineers have developed autonomously piloted weaponized vehicles in hopes it will provide direct and indirect fire support for ground troops trapped in dangerous situations on the battlefield. According to the Army Tank Automotive Research Development and Engineering Center, or TARDEC program, the goal behind the Wingman is to train soldiers in weaponized robotic vehicles to work together on the battlefield to confront America's enemies. Army engineers say it will be soldiers, not computers, who decide when the robotic Humvee fires its rounds. Now, they claim it will always have human control, and I actually find it interesting that they're making sure that's a prevalent point of the conversation. To me, it kind of reveals something behind it, but clearly, they would want to be able to reach a point where that is no longer needed. There's clearly a motivation for that, and then we kind of get into the dystopian future, as if they're using these horror movies as some sort of how-to guide to destroy the world. I mean, we have to acknowledge the fact that I think the reason they're pushing the idea that humans will always have a part in this is because that's something that we all clearly fear. There's an obvious problem there, but I think the idea is that that's probably something they're aiming for right now, to be able to put that out with no interaction and just let it happen. It just seems like the obvious end game for what they're trying to do here. The overarching point is always that what is best for humanity or even possible repercussions are never considered in these kind of aspects, only what can more efficiently kill with the least amount of risk. The next story to get into coming out of the freethoughtproject.com, high-level judge and former Trump campaign chair pleads guilty to 21 counts of child trafficking. Former district court judge and school board member Tim Nolan pled guilty to 21 counts of human trafficking on Friday. In court, it was revealed that the judge threatened young women and girls under the age of 18 with arrest to force them into sex. On one occasion, a victim was living on his property and he forced to evict her if she did not have sex with him. He also gave numerous victims heroin. Now, it's important to note, first of all, before we continue, that this was a local campaign chair. I do kind of feel that the Trump being involved in that title at all kind of distracts from the real point of this. So it's important to make sure it was a local campaign chair. But just the idea that a judge or a politician in general would do these kind of things is horrifying and revealing to something we've been trying to get into the forefront of this conversation for a long time, that this is much more prevalent than we like to believe. Among the charges that Nolan pleaded guilty to were human trafficking, attempted human trafficking, and giving drugs and alcohol to minors. According to charges read in court, Nolan told one of his victims that he would, quote, call his friends in the FBI and other law enforcement to arrest her. Nolan's attorney, Margot Grubbs, actually tried to downplay the charges that her client pleaded guilty to. She said, quote, he took full personal responsibility for these acts that in his potential day and generation would not necessarily be considered to rise to the level of human trafficking. and her name Grubbs kind of just makes me laugh. It's just, it really is grubby in general. The idea, what she's trying to say there is pretty messed up. And she also accused the victims of lying despite him pleading guilty. Now, I always have to make the note, I mean, the job of these lawyers are to try to win the case. I have to acknowledge that it's hard to put her in such a negative light when really she's just trying to do her job, but it's got to happen in a moral way. I mean, to try to argue that what 50 years ago that rape was okay, or kind of whatever she's alluding to there, is just pretty messed up. And it really just shows you that what these people in these positions of power are able to get away with by leaning on the things that they like, really just, there's so many power structures in place here that allow these things to slip by. It's just horrifying. Now, sentencing is yet to happen, so we can only hope that he truly sees the accountability that we want, or that these people should be held to, but it kind of never seems to be the case. It, you know, something like Hassard, I always bring up, where, you know, he only got charged for 15 months and was called a serial child molester, and yet only served 13. And there's so many other small crimes that see so much longer time in jail. So someone like this, especially with using his position of power to manipulate these kids, has to see large amounts of time, a lifetime sentence minimum, as far as I'm concerned, but I'll make sure and report what actually happens. I also want to make the point that these are always possible release valves in my mind, because there are much bigger and more sinister criminals in regard to this topic that we are already well aware of. People like Jeffrey Epstein, not to get off track here, there's a lot of names I could drop, but Epstein's a perfect example of someone that we have on record of doing horrible things, and yet he seemed to just sidestep the law. Someone like this, it seems like, is an important case. I mean, he's a person in position of power, but I would argue why he got away with it for so long, and why people in the FBI and other groups that probably knew what was going on, that's just my guess, didn't do anything about this. I mean, you know, and who knows, maybe they didn't know. I mean, this is all speculation, but there are bigger fish out there that we need to make sure we don't lose track of by these little kind of people throwing people under the bus, kind of making us think, oh, good, things are happening, when a lot of times they're just release valves meant to stop us from our momentum and continuing to push forward. So this should motivate us more to reach and, you know, dig deeper and find the real criminals behind the scenes. The next story coming out of theantimedia.org, it appears Israel is preparing for a real war with Iran and Syria. One day after the most significant escalation in tensions between Israel and Syria and Iran, when an Israeli F-16 was shot down over the Golan Heights after it attacked a Syrian base, which allegedly launched a drone into Israeli airspace, which Iran is vehemently denying, Israel appears to be preparing for war in the north, according to the Jerusalem Post, which reports that the Jewish state has boosted its air defense in the region along the Syrian border following the significant confrontation between the Jewish state, Syria, and Iran. Now, we must remember that Israel has wanted this war for a very long time, and this might be exactly what they wanted to happen. And there's it's a multifaceted idea why they would want this to happen. We've covered many times, whether talking about resources or just geopolitical stance in general, trying to gain control of Syria, but there's a lot of things at play here, even considering the United States' ambition involved here. But this clearly seems like something they've been wanting to happen, with years of hundreds of unprovoked attacks on Syria, as well as illegal occupation of their sovereign territory. And now all we're seeing is essentially Syria finally fighting back. And whether or not Iran was involved is up for debate. I mean, they're claiming that the drone aspect is a lie, but who knows ultimately. But clearly, they have every right to defend their sovereign territory. So this is a very ridiculous story. And like we said earlier, it's U.S. is clearly standing behind Israel, just like we expected, both kind of claiming that this is an attack on Israel, oddly enough, even though they're attacking and they got shot down after unprovoked attacks. It's all propaganda here, trying to frame the narrative just to continue what's been happening in Syria, rather the failed effort, what's been happening in Syria through the push of Western powers. But clearly this is going to be leading that direction, just like we've expected. Now, another important aspect here is there's talk of Netanyahu resigning, as right now all of the Israeli police chiefs are recommending his prosecution for a number of things. Steve Outram actually suggested that he might be setting the stage, if you will, for a war that his successor doesn't want to get blamed for. So it's very interesting to see this all kind of playing out, because like we said, clearly this is something that Israel has wanted to happen for a long time, and just kind of searching for the justification and the context, even though, I mean, they've kind of been attacking unprovoked for a long time now. You generally, with these larger events, events kind of need the support of the masses. And that's kind of what we're seeing here. If they can frame this as another attack by Syria, another fake attack by Syria, it could kind of go their way. So we'll see what happens. This is, again, something we'll follow up on. But clearly, there's a lot of misdirection and misinformation flying out around this story. The next story coming out of the ZeroHedge.com and the final story for the day, Arizona Senate passes bill to allow tax payments in Bitcoin. Public records indicate that the Arizona Senate passed a bill on February 8th to allow residents in the state to pay their taxes with cryptocurrency. The Senate Bill 1091, which intends to enable cryptocurrencies for tax payment, was introduced January 10th, 2018, and passed by the Senate Finance Committee by a 4-3 vote on January 24th. On February 8th, the Senate passed the bill by a 16-13 margin with no vote. The bill has now been sent to Arizona's House of Representatives. If the bill is adopted, Arizona would become the first state in the U.S. to accept cryptocurrency tax payments by the year 2020, as stated in the public record. The bill would allow taxpayers of the state to use, quote, a payment gateway, such as Bitcoin, Litecoin, or any other cryptocurrency recognized by the department, using electric peer-to-peer systems. Now, this is admittedly a very big step, but I can almost guarantee that it will be shot down by the House. I hope not, but I truly think that's what's going to happen. That is my guess. But this shows us more than anything that the tide is shifting here. Even within the government, there are people that are clearly acknowledging this is the future. This is where this is all going. Now, again, there's a larger argument to be had of whether or not cryptocurrency is a negative thing. But the idea behind this is it's all about the way that we use it as the people, the technologies that we support, the same way that the internet is used in our benefit, despite the fact that it is arguably a military project used to manipulate us to begin with. And now we're using it clearly for positive means. So if we make sure that we support the right kinds of blockchain technology moving forward, it is the shift we've been looking for in a lot of ways that can allow decentralization and peer-to-peer transactions that can cut out the government middleman. So I think this is something we need to continue to keep track of and not immediately dismiss things that have to do with cryptocurrency, as I know many in the independent media are quick to do. And I understand your apprehension, but there is something here to be supported in positive ways. So let's keep track of the real goal here, which is to decentralize the idea of what we're trying to accomplish. And to finish today, I'd like to point out that there is just so much going on that I can't just brush over in this show. So as always, get out there and do your own research. Find the news that is truly important and almost always omitted by the corporate media and send them my way. I'm happy to go back over a story that I might have missed if you feel it's worth covering. But begin to take charge of how well you are informed. Self-responsibility is truly the foundation of freedom and does not exist without you breaking those chains of dependency. As Emma Goldman once wrote, anarchism stands for liberation of the human mind from the dominion of religion, the liberation of the human body from the dominion of property, liberation from shackles and restraint of government. It stands for social order based on the free grouping of individuals. Now, whether or not you believe in the principles of anarchism or misunderstand it altogether, we must begin to break these chains, mental, financial, and otherwise. The illusion of government necessity and the conditioned dependency that we are all taught is simply the way of the world. But we were lied to. For the topics discussed today, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything and come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.